Amen. Thank you, ladies. Proverbs chapter 24 tonight. Proverbs 24. This great book of wisdom. Tonight we're looking at things that belong to the wise. Things belonging to the wise. And we'll look in Proverbs 24 and verse number 23. And read down through verse 25 tonight. Proverbs 24, verse number 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious word now. We ask again, Lord, for the presence and power of your Spirit. Lead and guide into all truth, God, and search our hearts. And Father, help us now that, Lord, we might give an ear to the precious wisdom, the precious truth of the Word of God, that our lives, Lord, might be used for your glory and purposes, and that, God, we might correct all things that thy Spirit would lead and guide us and direct us to, that we might be a blessing, and Lord, we might be used of thee. Help us now, Father. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Things belonging to the wise. You and I read the Word of God, and we read the book of wisdom and these mighty principles. I'm reminded that these are imparted to us from the eternal God. And that is that God knows the end from the beginning. God is omniscient, a big word for God knows everything. Being that God is eternal, He knows the outcome and consequence of every action. You and I today, of course, we are people who live in the present. And being a natural man, you and I have much nearsighted vision. Often it deceives us. God lives in the realm of the eternal. We live in the realm of the present. And therefore, many times, the things that we think might be an advantage or things that might be gain, God tells us that's not the case. And so God, in His vision of eternity, He certainly can evaluate the ways of man, the things we do, and tell us what will be gain and what will be loss. And so we heed to His principles of wisdom. And here in the Scriptures, we find that the Bible begins by saying these things belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect to persons in judgment. If you and I stop and consider this principle, this proverb, we'd have to make a confession that this is a challenging thing for us in the lives that we live. I'm afraid that all of us are far more guilty of it than we either acknowledge or even realize. And the Bible tells us that it's not good. That in the respect of God's purposes and all that God has given concerning the consequence of decisions and actions, God said it's not good to have a respect to persons in judgment. And that could apply not only judgment of right and wrong, but also a judgment of their value or their worth. And so we are challenged here by the principle of wisdom that we're not to allow the person to alter our discernment of good and bad. We're not allow the person, listen, to determine, listen, whether they have value or not. We are to let the principle determine that. If we do not, then we'll fall prey to being prejudicial in our judgments. Notice with me, first of all, tonight, the temptation that would pervert our judgment. The temptation that would pervert our judgment. Let's just jump in with the hardest one. The hardest one, I believe, is in the matter of relationships. Boy, that one is tough. The Bible says here that not only are we not to have respect to personal judgment, but he that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. And notice here in the context, the Bible says that when we would say or imply that a person who has done wrong, a person who is wicked, and understand the word wicked takes a very serious connotation with us, but actually just means to be immoral in their lifestyle, not living according to the moral standard of the Word of God. If we would tell them, or we would imply that they are righteous, the word righteous here is a word that simply means that they are justified, that it is lawful. And so, what the proverb here is teaching us is that we're not to tell or imply to a person who is not living according to the moral law of God, we are not to tell them or imply in any way that they're justified in their actions and in their ways. Now, you say, preacher, do we have a problem with that? Yeah, we do. Especially in certain temptations. Those temptations that would pervert judgment. I mentioned the hardest one, number one, is a relationship. We all have families. And you know what? It's common to most of us. We love our family. Come on. We love our family. We have family, we have friendships. One of the hardest tests of all, what's the old saying? Love is blind. Willfully so. And so, the pain of reality, the pain of truth sometimes is just too hard for us to bear. But the Bible reminds us it's not good. And so we have a wisdom principle that begins to convict our heart and challenge our life, that in relationships with family and friends, loved ones, people we have affection for, we are often tempted to violate this principle. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Especially when it comes down to our children. Oh boy. That's the hardest test of all. Our children. The Bible said it's not good. That's the eternal God looking, listen, in the future. That's God evaluating it. He's the eternal God. He sees all things. He knows the consequence of every action and deed. And listen, He knows the end from the beginning. And so God is teaching us, it's not good. It doesn't work out good. It doesn't work out for the best for you or for anyone if we would anyway justify or imply to them that in their case, in their relationship, in their life, that it is justified, that it's okay, or that, listen, it would be acceptable when it's not. And so we're not doing them any good. Listen. If you would come work at a Christian school for a month, you would know how important this proverb principle is. Because you know what? My angels don't do anything wrong. You know what I found out? Some of the most deceived people in the world are mamas and daddies. And listen, for the most part, it's willful. It's willful. And Rhonda and I talk sometimes, and we say, boy, are they in for a shock. We have had more than one letter sent to us after we disciplined the child and the parent got mad and took them out. And we've had several letters and phone calls where they apologized later and said, we didn't know, but you were right. I said, we don't hate your children, we love them. I said, we don't get there and decide, who can we pick on today? We're trying to help you, not hurt you. And so, this wisdom principle is important. And God reminds us it's not good. And the temptations that would pervert our judgment from doing what is right and what is in the best interest of others, Listen, in relationships, our family, our friendships. Listen, and we quickly condemn those for the same actions for whom we have no affection. But if our family or loved one does it, we excuse it or look the other way. That's a perverted judgment, is it not? That's a partiality we shouldn't have. And you know what? We're quick. There's somebody we don't like, but we're quick. I mean, we can draw that gun in a hurry. I mean, judgment come out. But for the same sins of others, we look the other way, deny it. And God said it's not good. It's not good. It's not beneficial. It's not gain. It doesn't help. And the temptation is there. Not only relationships, but also another temptation that would pervert our judgment is also a reward. People who are in positions of means, as someone would quote, friends with benefits, those to whom we hope or depend may reward us, sometimes we look the other way. We don't do that, do we? Oh, listen, we don't do that. Oh, no. Oh, the temptation is great. When we have individuals, relationships, people are in positions of prominence or power or prosperity, and listen, they have an affection toward us, and listen, we stand in opportunity of gain, to have received, stand for inheritance, stand for gifts, stand for favors, whether they're family, whether people we are employed by others. We're often tempted to look the other way and to either tell or imply that these people are good when they live immoral lives because we are tempted, to pervert that judgment for personal gain. Proverbs has a way of getting us right where we live, doesn't it? Getting us right where we live. The Bible says, and you know what's bad about that? The principle is very painful. You know what it means? It means truth, righteousness, and judgment are for sale. And that's really painful. Really painful. The Bible says, Leviticus 19:15, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." It's to be right. It is to be consistent. It is to be without partiality. We not only make judgments concerning, right and wrong, condemnation or acceptance, but also, if you look with me in James chapter 2, we also are guilty of being tempted of having partiality in the value we place on people's lives. Now look in James chapter 2, if you'd like to read with me. The Bible said, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." He said, it's inconsistent for you and I who have put our faith in Christ, to have a respect to persons. You know why? Because when I put my faith in Christ, it was on this context that I, myself, a sinner, and needed to be saved. And you know what we have? We have a common salvation. That means all of us are sinners, all of us unworthy, all of us deserve judgment and hell, but God was merciful and God extended grace to us. So in relationship to God, salvation, we're all in the same boat. Right? That's what faith in Christ taught us. And so he goes on to say, "If there come unto you, your assembly, a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." That'll never happen in church, does it? Oh boy. Oh boy. I told you about the service in Kansas City. And it was a large church. preacher said that they had services already started. He said the song leader got up as he usually did. Man, they were getting with it. He said they were singing all the hearts out and said we had one of them old-fashioned songs. We were letting it ring out. About that time, he saw a bunch of people's head turning and people whispering. And you know, it was the governor of the state had walked in, sat on the service, and about everybody there recognized and knew it was the governor. He said, man, you're talking about something happening in the service. He said, I was sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, everybody got quiet. And the song leader, you know what he did? He changed the next song. And he said, all of a sudden, we got real dignified. He said, I got up, told the song leader, excuse me for a minute. I feel like a good old rendition of Amazing Grace this morning. And said, y'all don't sit there like a bump on a log. Listen, if you've been touched by Amazing Grace, you sing it out with all your heart. And listen, he said, I got them up. He said, I got them singing. I got them. He said, listen, I don't care who walked in here. He's a sinner that needs to be saved. I don't care what his title is. He's in the same boat with the rest of us, needs to hear the gospel, needs to see the joy of the Lord on our faces. You see, you and I, we face that temptation when we value individuals as a respecter of persons based upon appearance. We know our faith in Christ. We understand, listen, that we're all sinners needing God's salvation. And we understand as a Christian that here's what we are. We're just vessels that God fills. And I'll tell you what, if God can make something out of you, He can make something out of them. Or you are what you are because of your good works, good looks, and your heritage. You are what you are by the grace of God. Who said God can't do that when that fella comes in vile raiment? God might make him the next D.L. Moody. You don't know. It's God's work. Not man. It's not man's gifts and man's talent, man's abilities. It's what God does in a man. And who knows what God has in store? I told this story probably 7-8 years ago. I wished I had kept the copy. One time I had an original copy. I love the story. One of my favorite stories. I have lost it somewhere. But I do remember the story. It's a true story. Happened back, I think, in the 50s. But the pastor told about it. I was there when this thing was preached. Matter of fact, I wrote it down. And he said that when he was pastoring, he was an aged pastor, he was pastoring, and he said, we had a farmer down the road that got saved and said, he said, now he's just a simple old fella, never got past sixth grade. He said, didn't have all of his teeth, and said, you know, just an old country fella. And all he had to wear to church to start with, just overalls, but he did button both straps. And he came in, and listen, that simple man got on fire for God. And he just became faithful every service. He was reading his Bible. Thank God he could read, and he was reading his Bible. He was studying, growing, learning. And he was giving testimonies and sharing different things. And listen, just had desire. He'd sit down and talk with the pastor about things he'd learned. And the pastor realized that the man had become a real student and just had a desire to teach. And he finally asked the pastor. He said, Pastor, he said, all up and down my road, he said, I see all these boys. They're all young boys. And he said, they just lost. He said, Pastor, could I start a Sunday school class for these boys? He said, help yourself. And he said he had an old Ford pickup truck, smoke boiling out of the back of that thing, old rattle trap. And he said he'd come up, you can tell this was a while back, because he said all them boys throwed in the back of it. And here they come around the curve and pulling old dirt parking lot, and them boys just jumping out all directions. And said within a year's time, he had 35 boys in that Sunday school class. And he said, after all those years of loving them young, bringing them in, of those original 35, boys that he brought in, 10, 11, 12 years old, 18 of them are either pastors or missionaries around the world, and came out of this man's Sunday school class. Listen, you have no idea what God can do with a vessel. Most folk count him out. Don't see a whole lot there to work with. But I'll tell you the truth is, when God started with every one of us, he started from the bottom. And listen, whatever's been accomplished was to his glory, for we're just vessels. You see, that's something we have learned and should have learned when we put our faith in Christ. And so listen, James is saying, listen, how that we should not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. And so he teaches us here, how he said, are ye then partial in yourselves? Are ye become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? And then he goes on to tell us this, don't you know that most of your problems come from the wealthy? The poor man never oppresses you. It's the wealthy man that's going to oppress you in life, not the poor man. And so James calls us here that, listen, if we have faith in Christ, we are not to be partial in our judgments concerning our relationship with people and how we value them in judgments, inconsistent with our faith in Christ. I love the story of Abraham. When Abraham, coming back from the battle, and listen, had won a great victory, and became a notable person, became a person of reputation, a person of power. God was with him. He had gone and taken his servants. The power of God was him, and he came back with the spoils, came back with Lot, having won a great victory. And the king of Sodom, listen, he thought, wait, this is a good time for us to develop a friendship. He saw Abraham as somebody he'd like to have a relationship with. Only problem was, you know what the king of Sodom was. You remember the story. He came and wanted to give Abraham all those spoils and all those things that had been taken. And you remember what Abraham said? He wouldn't take what? A shoelace. I won't take a shoelace from the king of Sodom. Because you'll go and tell that you have made Abraham rich. No, God is the one who's blessed Abraham. And listen, he wasn't going to give the credit to the king of Sodom and wasn't going to sit down at a table of agreement with him. He could have received. This was a king. This was a man of wealth. This is a man who could have given a lot of things. But Abraham stood upon the principle and did not sell truth and judgment in this time of need. We find not only the temptation in relationships, the temptation of reward, but the temptation of regard, primarily the fear of man. That is that oftentimes we're tempted to be perverted in judgment and be partial in relationship to our fear of man, men of prestige or power that may do us harm. That stand in the position of bringing some type of judgment or hardship against our life. The Bible reads in Proverbs, back in Proverbs 18, and in verse number 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow righteous in judgment. Listen, in regard to that, we think about many of the great stories of the Bible. You remember when God sent Elijah the prophet, and he went, straight into the face of Ahab, the king of Israel, and his lovely wife Jezebel. Some of y'all didn't get that. And you remember what he told him? He said, there'll be no rain here for 3 years, according to my word, because of the wickedness that you've led this nation in. Straight to his face. Hey, listen, Elijah knew. He commanded an army. But Elijah had been sent by God, protected by God's power. And God protected him. We know the story, and we see what happened. And listen, when I read about that, it blesses my heart how that Elijah was true and faithful to the Lord and did exactly what God said. Though God sent him, listen, in the face of kings and sent him in the face of Jezebel, I know there was a time of weakness in his life. Listen, when he did not see the revival he thought he'd see in the nation, and he got discouraged and defeated, and he turned off running. But God, listen, God showed him that I am not done. You're just a part of my plan. I will redeem Israel. And you're just a piece of what my great plan is. And he lifted up and restored Elijah in that ministry. I love later on when Ahab had sought to make a league with Jehoshaphat. Remember, the kingdom was divided between Israel and Judah. And listen, he went... listen, Jehoshaphat, and said, we need to come together, put a force together to battle. Jehoshaphat, listen, was a man who feared the Lord. And he said, listen, before we do this, I'd like to bring a prophet of the Lord and see what he has to say. And you know what? Ahab said, I'll take care of that. Jehoshaphat, no, I don't want yours. We don't want no prophet of Baal. He said, is there not one of the Lord God of Israel that we can call? His name was Micaiah. And you know what Ahab said? I'm paraphrasing. I don't want him. He never prophesies good concerning me. Anytime a man opens his mouth about me, it's always bad. I wonder why. I wonder why. The wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel. But you and I understand here this great temptation that perverts our judgment. And we face it every day of our lives. And we have to deal with it as we go through life. And then notice with me secondly, and I'll hurry, I see not only here in the matter of temptation, but also the transgression. Look in verse number 24, when we begin to imply, when we begin to tell, when we begin, listen, to indicate that those who are wicked, that they actually are righteous. We come and tell them, and you know what? God has rebuked me about how loosely sometimes we make reference to people. I've occasionally been smitten in my heart because accidentally I called someone who was not saved and I said, brother so-and-so, and that, whoo, that grieved me. I did not want to give the false impression that person was a brother in Christ. And it was absolutely a slip that I regretted. But you know what I've learned to do? I've also learned to stay away from the old term, he's a good old boy. In light of the Scriptures, in light of the principle, I don't want to mislead or imply that the man has a standing in righteousness if he's a Christ rejecter. If he's a Christ rejecter. I simply cannot use that terminology. I knew we do not mean it in that sense, but I don't want to imply or give the implication to anybody else. Listen, that man is just or that he's accepted by God without coming to Christ. And so I want to be careful in that sense not to make that implication that someone who is morally wrong is justified or is lawful, and the transgression of excusing the immorality, the transgression of enabling it, or the transgression of encouraging it. And so, listen, we have to be careful that we're not partial in judgment, that we're truthful, that we abide by the principle. If not, then we will excuse that immorality and sometimes enable it, sometimes encouraging it by not calling it what it is. And so, listen, we must, as God's people, make others realize that they need to be born again, need to be saved, need to confess their sin, repent, and turn from it, and come to Christ and let Him wash their sins away. And so, we want to be clear about our message. Matter of fact, we become guilty and become an associate of their deed. Listen, if we would yield, if we would imply, if we would excuse it. You say, but preacher, I didn't do it. No, but you drove the getaway car. And when you stand before the judge, you'll find out that you share in the guilt. How many times, listen, we didn't really approve of the behavior, but we provided a getaway car. That happens a lot more than we might think. Notice what happens, the latter part of verse 24. Him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. Why? Because that person becomes an enemy to the peace of society. You and I know it well living in this country. We see it. We betray a trust that's been given to us in the matter of truth. And when we justify, when we excuse, when we encourage immoral behavior, then we have affected our whole society. And we will lose that piece of society. And we will be cursed, and nations shall abhor those who continually excuse it and enable it. And we're living in those days. We see it politically in our country. This is exactly what takes place every day. When people are excused and enabled and even celebrate for their immorality. And what has happened to our society? We mention it every day just about we meet together. What a horrible thing is taking place in this nation. And you know why? For this very principle being violated. People have done wrong, and others have excused it. Others have explained it away. Others have justified it. That it actually was acceptable, it was understandable, and we've made all transgressions today just a slight mistake. And it has affected our whole society and our whole nation. But notice with me the last point. We have the temptation, the transgression. Then we have the truthful in verse number 25. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. To be honest in principle, to address the injustices, to address the immorality, how quick we are to criticize, condemn those we have no relationship with. It is needful that we seek correction of those in whom we delight. And so, that we might be blessed of the Lord and blessed of good men. You and I, we'll take the time to read the story of Eli, the priest of the Lord. But he had two sons. And they were sons of Belial. And it was told Eli, the priest of the Lord, what they were doing. And the Bible said that Eli didn't do anything about rebuking them and judging them. You know what it led to? An invasion that came upon them and the Philistines, killed the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, killed them. They took the Ark of the Covenant away. And Ichabod was written, the glory of God hath departed, and judgment came upon the nation, and they cried out because the Ark of the Covenant was gone. And there was 4,000 men who lost their lives in the battle. You know what it went back to? Eli would not discipline his sons. And the judgment of God fell upon the nation. Story after story in the Bible, we find the story of David. When David's son Amnon raped his half-sister, Tamar. And David was angry, but he didn't do anything about it. You know what happened 2 years later? Tamar's true brother, Absalom, went and killed his half-brother Amnon and then fled. And David didn't do anything about that either. And eventually, we know what happened. Absalom came back after 2 years' absence and won over the people with his looks and his countenance, and his false sense of care and compassion, led a revolt and tried to take the kingdom away from David. End up dying, and after he died, David then cried out, "Absalom, Absalom, would to God, my son, what I've done for thee." Too late. Too late. And so you and I consider the principle here. We understand the importance that God says. And God says, it's not good. It's not good to have respect to persons. It's not good to listen in any way to enable and encourage things that are wrong and to justify them, excuse them. But we have to be honest and be faithful and not be perverted and corrupted in those judgments if we want things to be blessed. and want God to bless us. It's a difficult challenge. We all face it. And boy, really, when it comes down to family, it really gets tough. But remember, God says that if you excuse it, look the other way, it's not good. It's not good. The eternal God sees down the road, and He tells us. May seem okay at the time. May seem a benefit. May seem the best course of action. God says in the realm of time, it is not good. God, help us to be faithful, for we have been entrusted with the truth. And thank God, that is what sets men free.